Find, if you would, Psalm chapter number 96. Psalm 96. If you do not have a Bible, should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, a black hardcover book. Please feel free to open it or use it. If you don't have one, maybe somebody would hand you a Bible. We would love for you to be able to have one and see what God's Word. Psalms is about right in the middle of the Bible, maybe just a little bit left. There's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, so it's a pretty big book. And you could find the 96th chapter, and that would help you to follow along. I want to preach a message today on the thought of worship. We are headed toward the season when our hearts and our minds will be directed toward Thanksgiving and then the birth of Jesus Christ. They will be directed toward the season of praise, worship, and Thanksgiving. And so as we approach these series and the end of the year and we begin to gather as families and look at our hearts as for Thanksgiving and then look toward the Christmas time, celebrating the birth of Christ and worshiping the newborn King, I think it only fitting that we understand and take some time to look at the word worship. I do believe that the word worship is very much misunderstood. Not only is it very much misunderstood, it's very much mispracticed. And tremendous word, tremendous blessing it is in our lives, a need that should be there. And it's vitally important that we understand this word. Not only that we understand it, but that we practice it. So I'm going to preach a message today entitled, Do You Really Worship God? Do you really worship God? Do you know what it is to worship God? And hopefully when you leave here in just a few moments, that you will have an understanding of what it is to properly worship God. And to know that I am able to do that because of Christ. I am able to do that because of what God is doing in me. And that my life brings worship to the Lord Jesus. Let me just get a little bit of a flavor of where we are. If you have a desire for your life to worship God, would you say amen? Amen. All right. Find, if you would, verse number 1, Psalm 96. The psalmist writes, Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, small g, matter of fact. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. I want to take that verse number 9, and I want to use it as my text today. And I want to preach from that phrase, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is a wonderful psalm. It's a psalm that springs forth out of the goodness of God and the recognition of God. And it's really a cry. It is filled with intensity. It is a call for men to worship God. Within this call for men to worship God, we find in it the nature of worship. Inside this passage, the psalmist is appealing to men to praise God. He's appealing to them to call upon God to recognize His greatness. And by the way, God is great. He's great in Himself. He's great in His hand. He's great in His handiwork. He is great in everything He is and does. Matter of fact, the announcement to Mary when it came to the Lord Jesus said, He shall be great. I submit to you, if you've never trusted Christ and you've never been born again and you've never been saved and you're here, that the suggestion of the truth is Jesus is great. God is great and greatly to be praised. He's calling on men to recognize His glory. God is filled with glory. His power, His majesty. Let me tell you something. We live in a land where we sing about the majesty of our land. We sing about the glory of our land, and we ought to. But there's glory and majesty in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's wonderful power in the name of the Lord, power in the blood of Christ. I know I'm speaking things that you already know, setting a precedent. The psalmist here is asking men to respond to what they hear and to what they see, to respond in verse number 8, to bring an offering and come into his courts. In verse number 9, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I want to take those words, worship, beauty, and holiness. And I want to preach to you three thoughts. What is worship? How do I worship? And when do I worship? And let me tell you, it's vital that you understand this if you're going to have a life that's filled with joy and praise and purpose when it comes to the Lord and in yourself. What is worship? I think there are two parts to worship. Worship has an inward part and it has an outward part. Worship has an action part and it has an attitude part. I submit to you and suggest to you that the outward part and the action part is requisited on the inward and the attitude. Today we have a tremendous focus on the outward part of worship. We call services like this worship service. We have a contemporary worship style. We have a traditional worship style. We have a conservative worship style. And we tie everything. I'm going to worship. We link everything to worship. And there is an outward and there is an action part to worship. But those parts are secondary, and I suggest to you that they are only accomplishing the act of worship as they are valid on the inward and the attitude. Let me give you some thoughts of what outward and worship is and the action part. Singing, praying, studying, coming to a service, being part of a church service. All of these things are the outward actions of worship. But I want you to know something. They are secondary forms of worship. See, most people think that you come to church today to worship. You got up, you got ready, you got dressed, and we have in our mindset in our churches today that you have to leave your home and come to a church on a Sunday in order for you to worship. I got news for you. Sunday is not the only day you can worship on. Did you know that Monday morning at 8 o'clock tomorrow when you go to work, you can worship Monday morning at 8 o'clock? You can worship on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Worship is never tied to a place or to a day or to a moment. Worship will always be tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can honor and love Him and worship Him at any moment. I would make this suggestion to you to help you in your thought process. If you have not worshiped God for the last 6 days, you will be unable to worship Him today. If you have not worshiped God in the last 6 days, then you cannot show up on a Sunday and expect to worship God. And so we look at all of these outward forms of what worship is, and we've got such a focus today and a concentration on the outward action of what we do. And so we want to say, I lift holy hands, or I sing the song, or I lift my voice in praise, or I do this. And we want to link all of that to worship. Problem is, that's not truly the fulfillment of worship. And I suggest to you that those things mean nothing if the inward part is not right with God as well. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that this church service will mean nothing to you, is meaningless and valueless as worship, Christian. I'm speaking strictly to Christians here. Is valueless in worship if there's not been worship prior to today. And so I don't want for God's children and for believers to think that I have come to church today to worship, and this is the extent, the origin, and the end of my worship. And I'm afraid that we live in a society and a culture today where we have drawn a line in our lives. And it's like once I get dressed and I walk out of my house, now I am on my way to worship. Listen, the spirit of worship that is in this building ought to be the same spirit of worship that's in every minute of our life. Okay, so we got to understand what true worship is. Let me define for you the word worship. It's a forceful, strong word. It carries with it the idea of prostration and bowing down. It suggests, it constrains us. It's a word that compels us. Yes, there is an action part of worship in which I do. But that action is based on the attitude of worship. And the bowing down and the prostration that that word means carries with it the attitude of reverence toward God. It recognizes the authority of God in my life. It recognizes the need of God in my life. Listen, worship runs throughout the whole Bible. The thought of worship is found on every page. Worship is the responsibility of man. But my friends, listen, you cannot sum up your worship in your action, for the action must be founded upon a proper attitude. Let me describe for you the attitude of worship. It's this way. The attitude of worship is like the subject bent before the king. The subject kneels before the king because the king is the authority of the land. You could use the word the Lord of the land. There is not a proper attitude of worship if there's not a proper understanding that Jesus is Lord of my life. Must have that attitude. Not only is there the attitude of lordship, but there's the attitude of a child yielding all its love to its father. See, worship says that I see you as my father and I yield my obedience because I love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's no worship with God unless there's the attitude of the submission of a subject to a king as Lord, or the submission of my will and my obedience like a child does to his dad because there's love. Thirdly, there's the attitude of the leading of the shepherd. So you've got the Lord part of that attitude. You've got the love part of that attitude. Then there's the leading of the shepherd. There's no official worship or proper worship unless in my spirit I am submitted as a sheep following the shepherd and seeing where Jesus leads me. I cannot be on my own path and say that I am worshiping. I must be on the path that Jesus sets for me for there to be worship. So there's the attitude of the bended knee to the Lord. There's a submission of love to a dad. There's the following of the leading of the Spirit of God. And then there's the letting mindset. And the letting mindset is that I surrender all that I am and all that I have, my mind, my emotion, my will, my permission, my thoughts, everything says yes to Jesus Christ. If it's in the book, then I say, yes, Lord, yes. And God's people said, all right. So worship is not just the outward active part of my life that I've come to church today to worship God. I submit to you, if you didn't worship him yesterday, you're not going to worship him today. And the attitude has to be, church, proper. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The psalmist is saying it's a forceful driving to an understanding of submission, to an understanding of reverence that I have in my heart, the attitude of submission to the Lord, love of a father, leading of the shepherd of God, and the letting of the Spirit of God and the Word of God take place in those things. And so this is what the psalmist is saying when he talks about worship. Now I'm asking you a question, point blank. Do you worship God? Do you worship God? I didn't ask you if you got in your car and came to church today to worship. Do you, as a saved, believing child of God, worship him in your attitude, in your heart, in the inward action? Worship the Lord in reverence of that fully all the time. That's the idea of worship. Now, Our society today has linked everything to worship. And basically, if you feel like doing it, you can declare worship. Let me tell you who declares what's what when it comes to worship. Only God declares what's proper when it comes to worship. No church has the authority to declare this is proper. God declares what's worship. For it is Him we are worshiping. It's His word we are going on. And so I can't just say, well, here's this, take this for worship. No, 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 my friend. Worship comes from the leadership of the Spirit of God, that work He does in our heart. What is worship? It is this complete surrender of myself to God. Only then do I have a platform to worship. So I'm asking you, Plantation Baptist Church. I'm asking you, people of God. I'm asking you, believer. I'm asking you, are you fully surrendered as a whole person, body, soul, and spirit, to God? That's the platform for worship. Pastor, how do I worship? Good question. Look what the psalmist says there in verse number 6. sorry about that. I got to get that worked out. Oh, worship the Lord in the, what's that word? Beauty. In the beauty. Look at verse number 9. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong verse. 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This word beauty is absolutely beautiful. Wherever you find beauty, it is the outcome of holiness. Wherever you find beauty is the outcome of holiness, you find worship. Five times this word beauty is used in the Bible. Only one time is it ever used where it's not linked to holiness. Now you need to understand this word beauty if you're going to really say, I worship God. Worship is that reverence, submission, yielding, forceful word. The psalmist said, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Now, let me describe this word beauty for you so you know what it means. It means honor and it means glory. What it does not mean is it's not an outwardly decorative word. It's not beauty because you put makeup on it. No offense, ladies. It's not a beautiful Christmas tree because you put decoration on it. It's beautiful because the tree. Anybody ever cut their own Christmas tree in the woods somewhere in the field? Anybody from the north, you did that? Awesome. You ought to take your family somewhere north, cut a Christmas tree, fly it home. It's a great experience. But we don't live in that kind of world, so I had to go to Walmart yesterday because somehow I think mice got in my old Christmas tree. I had out in the shed. I went to get it. There was big holes in the black paper and things running around. And Beverly said, over my dead body, does that thing come into the house? So I went to Walmart and I was walking around and I was looking at beautiful Christmas trees. Now, we decorate our tree. I think we're going to do it a little different this year. Some of you do theme decoration. We do family decoration. We have ornaments from back when I was a kid, Beverly was a kid, handmade ornaments. If we go somewhere, New York, we bought an ornament or something means something to us. The kids play soccer, so we bought a little soccer. We try to decorate our trees along that line. And our tree will be beautiful when we decorate it, but I promise you, I did not go to Walmart yesterday and look for the ugliest fake tree and buy it. I didn't. I went and I looked all around. Matter of fact, I didn't even buy a tree from Walmart. I got to go first to Target, and I got to go to Michael's, and I got to go to Sam's, and I got to go to Home Depot, and I got to go to all these stores because I want to find first the tree that I think is beautiful without any ornaments on it. Are you with me? Okay. Here's what the word beauty is. The word beauty is not beauty because it's outwardly decorative. It's beautiful based on its intrinsic value. It's beautiful in and of itself. It has the idea of shining inner character that makes it beautiful. So the psalmist says, worship the Lord in beauty, not outwardly decorated beauty, but intrinsic beauty. So picture with me an illustration now. My life is a Christmas tree at Walmart, standing there decorative, and it looks beautiful. I go home and I will hang decoration on it, and it will enhance the beauty, help the beauty, and when I stand back, I will say, wow, it's beautiful. But the only reason that tree is going to be beautiful is because I've already judged in it its beauty. So you come to church and you want to worship God. And I know I have a heart. I want to worship God. And I want God to see in me His beauty. Do you want God to see His beauty in you? So we kind of take singing, and we take an ornament of church attendance, and we take an ornament of raising of hands, and we take this ornament of teaching in the Sunday school, and we get this ornament of preaching, and I get this ornament of doing junior church, and I kind of come to the worship tree on Sunday, and I try to kind of decorate that tree with the actions of my life. Problem. The tree has to be beautiful in and of itself. All the ornament does is it inhibits or it exposes or makes grander the beauty of the tree. Stay with me, because here's why most church people feel so hypocritical in your spirit. Here's why most people don't enjoy coming to church. Here's why to most people church is just a routine, a regulation. You're looking and saying, when are we going to get out of here? What's going on? I'm putting my time in. Let me tell you something. True worship knows nothing about time. But we're in this little routine here because somewhere we have swallowed hook, line, and sinker that worship is all about what I do and very little about who I am. And you come to a service like this and you try to decorate yourself and present yourself as beautiful worship to God, but in your heart and in your mind, you know that it's not true inside. I don't know God, but I know that I'm not submitted to Him as Lord. I'm not yielded to Him in His love. I'm not following Him as His leadership. I'm not letting Him in His word. But I'm here today, Pastor, and I'm decorating my life, and I want God to receive that worship. But you're only going to be beautiful then if we're beautiful intrinsically now. And most of us are so beat up in our thinking because we see ourselves as hypocrites, and the devil eats us alive. He says, you're a fake, and you're these things. And he's right, because we can do all of this, and it means nothing unless we are something in the Lord. So I haven't been worshiping 6 days and I show up today to worship. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So the psalmist says, worship the Lord in the beauty, in the intrinsic beauty, inside beauty of, look at the next word, holiness. See, in God's works, beauty is the expression of holiness. Pastor, how do I worship God? Number one, you got to be born again. You got to be saved. Nobody can worship God who's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God's people said, everybody can praise God. Psalms 150, the last verse of the book, says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everybody can give a praise to God. God is good to everybody. But worship is specifically designed for only those people that know Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, if you've never been transformed by the blood of Christ, your spirit's never been quickened. Jesus said, if you're going to worship God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. My spirit's not been made alive, I cannot worship. Listen to the pastor. God wants for all men to worship Him. God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants you to go to heaven. God wants to forgive your sin. Nobody loves you like God. Nobody has done more for you than God. God is not some ogre waiting to discourage you. He's got His arms wide open. And by the way, they're pierced and they're bloody. And He's saying, I have given my life for you. Come and receive the salvation by grace. God wants for you to be able to say, only a sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you something. The greatest day of my life was when I got saved. God's pleading with you in that. But then after I've been born again, how do I worship God? By the beauty, the intrinsic value of holiness. Now watch this illustration. It's marvelous. What is holiness? The word is sanctified. The word is to be set apart. Holiness is the law of Christ or the life of Christ in me. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I was not born holy, I was unholy. I was not born righteous, I was unrighteous. I was a sinner. But praise God, because of Jesus, we can be holy. We can have God's holiness in our life. And so holiness means that I'm obedient to God. I'm in agreement with God. I obey God. I know Him. I walk with Him. The law of God in the life of Christ is real in my life. Now watch this. Flowers that blossom on the side of the street are worshiping God. I believe this. All nature worships God. Pastor, if I had a gun, I would kill that bird that starts singing at 5:30 in the morning. If somebody could just do away with that bird, my life would be easier. It wakes me up every day. I promise you, you don't know what that bird is singing, but Jesus does, and it worships him. Have you ever been out in the middle of the woods in the north in those big, tall, hard woods, and you hear the wind whistle through those woods, and it almost sounds melodious as it goes through? I promise you, those trees, as they sway through that wind, are yielding their praise and their worship to God. When you drive by on the streets and you see wildflowers growing over there, those are ornamented in beauty, and God is receiving worship from those. God receives worship from the animals of the earth, from the fish of the sea. He's just being praised everywhere in his creation. And so Jesus said, consider the lily. It neither toils nor spins, but it's never been, there's no other, nothing else arrayed in such of it. And he was getting glory from the array of the lily. Now watch this. How is a flower that's blooming, Pastor, worshiping? They worship by their beauty. What is their beauty? The beauty is the result of the operation of the law of God in its existence. See, that flower was created by God. God created all things. God put within those flowers an ability to blossom. At the opening of that blossom and the revealing of that flower, in that beauty, God is worshiped and praised for his great hand. But God put the law into that flower. And if you do something to destroy that law, hurt that law, violate that law, cutting it from its root, not watering it, not doing something, then it will not proceed with the blossom to the beauty where it is worshiping God. See, the reason that the flower worships is because of the law that God has put within it. Do you understand that? So what is my preaching? What is my singing? What is my praise? What is my teaching in the Sunday school? What is my water baptism? What's my ushering? What's my parking lot Jesus? What is all this I do for God? Listen, all of those outward actions are the blossoming of our lives that God is able to see, and others are able to, God enjoys, and others are able to see, and they see that working in our life. And so the reason all of that is considered worship to God is because it's beautiful. Why is it beautiful? Because the law of God is being followed in my life. The law of Christ, his nature, his life is working in me, and it's his working in me that brings me to the position that as I serve him, it becomes worship. But if I try to do those things and neglect the law of God inside, there will be no beauty to God in my action. And the last thing I want to do is serve God and him not receive my worship. That's why we're so frustrated. That's why the world thinks church is just nothing. That's why people come all the time and they've all come to worship services today. But they're so empty in that. Why? Because they're expecting the fruit of their of that to be beautiful. But when it hasn't followed the law of God and it's not received as beauty by God. And so now we see ourselves as hypocrites. And we see God as some judgmental person who wants nothing to do. No, my friend. But there's a law of holiness that is that is paramount for there to be worship. I'm asking you as your pastor, do you worship God in the intrinsic value of your heart with holiness? It's in that beauty of holiness that God receives everything else. Not because I got up today and got dressed and drove to church and here I am to worship. The song, a great song, here I am to worship, here I am to praise thee. But let me tell you something, it's not a place or a time and all that. Worship ought to be the theme of our lives. Oh, if people could understand that. He said, worship him in the beauty of holiness. When do I worship, Pastor? I'll tell you exactly what you worship. You worship when you are everything God meant you to be. When you're everything God meant you to be. You can sing as many songs, attend as many worship services as you want. do as much sacrifice as you want, and you can give as much as you want. But I'm going to tell you something. Those things are nothing unless you are right. You are right. And I'm afraid that we as Bible-believing people, we are trying to offer God some form of worship, but it's not on the platform of intrinsic beauty of holiness. And we're so confused. Pastor, why? What's wrong with me? Am I not saved? What's wrong with me? I don't enjoy. What's wrong with this church? I need to find another church. I need to do this. No. What we need is we need to understand that worship is directly tied to holiness, and holiness is directly tied to beauty, and I absolutely cannot worship God publicly unless I worship Him privately. Oh, boy, that'll change our lives. Worship, the supreme dignity, is that we walk in His ways, we learn Him, we submit ourselves wholly to Him. Brethren, you will see that worship does not begin when you go to church. Worship does not begin today. Worship is celebrated today. You got to hear that. Please hear that. You did not come to Plantation Baptist Church today to begin worship. That is not right. We came today as brethren in the Lord, as family, as a local united body of believers, not for worship to begin, but for worship to be celebrated. So I'm asking you, what were your last 6 days? Is your life filled with worship, or is there this disconnect that you get in your car and you drive to this property and it's on this property, I sense worship? Let me tell you something. There better be the spirit of worship in your home now, or you'll never keep your kids. You'll never keep them. We'll never keep that the joy of that. It's not divided like that. I pray where there's holiness, there's beauty. Where there's beauty, there's worship. However ornate the worship may be in the external things, if it lacks the beauty of holiness, it never reaches the inner sanctuary and never glorifies God. I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased in my worship. If that's you, say amen. If He's going to be pleased in our worship, He has to be pleased in the beauty of holiness. He's worthy of our worship. Pastor, are you mad at us? No. Do you know why I make my kids study and do their homework? Because I want them to excel. Do you want your kids to excel? Yes. Sometimes I would like to kill them, to be honest. But for the most part, I want them to excel. What does a pastor want for his people? I want you to excel. I want you to know that your worship is being recognized by God. I don't want you to spend your whole Christian life feeling hypocritical. I don't want you to get to the point where you sit out there and you think, is this all there really is to Christianity? Let me tell you something. There is no bottom to the depth of joy in Jesus Christ. No bottom. So if you feel like you've reached some bottom and your worship has flattened out, you need to look at the beauty of holiness in my life and think, am I worshiping God? Not just in my outward action, but my attitude. Am I reverent and surrendered to Him as Lord in my love, in His love, in His leadership, in the letting of Him in my life? Did God receive my worship today? Let me tell you, He wants to receive it, and it is a joy. If you're here and you've never been saved, please hear the preacher. You need to be born again. You need to give your heart to Christ. Pastor, I'm afraid. Well, you might be afraid, but you can trust Him. Pastor, what's He going to do with my life? He's going to give you a new life. And I promise you, as great as you think your life is now, the life in Christ is 10,000 times 10,000 better. And God's people said, all right, let's pray.